I believe in the outline we just finished being given to a meeting life, and now we come to another aspect of the church life in 13, 14, 15, and 16 that are kind of a little group. So all of these start with respect, or have the word respect in them somewhere. Respect is not an easy word or an all-inclusive word. That's why in 13 I have a little parenthesis. Love or value or respect or treasure, things like this would all be okay here. 13 is respect the saints of all ages and all stages. You could even put all races, since we have a lot of races here. If we assume that, then we have to respect, honor, give value to, love the saints of all ages. If we don't, we're not the church. And of all stages, meaning stages in growth in life in Christ, they're all stages. They're newborn babes with the pure milk of the Word. There's some higher stages. There's solid food stage and so forth. We have a lot of stages. Some among us are rather new in Christ. Some have had a history of Christ of a number of years. Some have a history of Christ of one or two decades, and they've been faithful, and they have a good accumulation of the element of God because they have had a lot of experiences of Christ. This is all what we're talking about when we talk about the building up of the body of Christ, okay? We have to respect all of the members, and it's easy to say that until you come across members who are not like you. Okay, so you have to put some things down here like all ages, all stages, all races, all what. The church life is not, it is not good in a church life to see that everybody is the same. This would mean, if it were like this, or if that were accurate, portrayal of the body of Christ, this means God really kind of favors a certain kind of group of people, you see. And there is no partiality or respect of persons with God, okay? So to have the normal church life, God Himself calls people, chooses people, and He sets them in the body according to His wisdom, even His foreknowledge. And if we see that, we respect that. And when we respect the ones that God selects, then we find ourselves quite spontaneously keeping the oneness of the Spirit, because we realize this is God's doing. God did this, we didn't do this. So we honor what God Himself has done, you see. In the church life, it's very good if, we have quite a variety of situations. In other words, Paul said there's no Jews or Greeks, though that's a big division. There's no, circumcision or uncircumcision. That's a matter of religious culture. And no barbarian, Scythian, that's just a matter of secular culture. You see, no bond or free. That's a big distinction in class, right, in that day. Well, in the church life, there's no anything. You are just a saint.
Amen.
But when you say that and you have some understanding, you say, I'm just a saint. Well, what else could anybody dream of wanting to become other than a real member of Christ's body? You see, that's a kind of climax to a human life, is to be one of God's people, a saint, right? In the church life, the thing that's amazing is there's such a variety. There should be, and there is, thank the Lord, a real variety of people. Some people are very highly educated. Some are not educated. Hardly at all, you see. if we would have a different feeling based on education, then we're outside of the body of Christ. You see, we have to have the same love, the same feeling about all the saints. You see, we might prefer the young people. Of course, young people like to be around young people. Everybody knows that. And certainly, you spend more time around young people because you're young. But on the other hand, because there are older saints of all ages, and some of them are, you know, elderly, we respect that. We have to respect that. That's God's doing. He chose them. It doesn't matter what time, what century, what time, what decade. None of that matters, because it's the body of Christ. You respect all things. Even a young babe in Christ, we should respect them. You see, even someone like the Apostle John, so old in Christ, you know, at the time of the New Testament, we respect that. You see, we have to respect all the different kinds of saints. And believe me, if the church life is normal, it should have some very peculiar people in it. Peculiar. Okay. You laugh a little bit, but you know, how do you define peculiar? You give me a definition of peculiar. Peculiar defined as someone opposite or different from the way you are. That's peculiar. You see, some people think I'm really peculiar. You know. Very peculiar. Well, that's okay. Gandhi, maybe to you I'm peculiar. See, just a crazy, you know, American. Right, just crazy, right? Well, you know, so what? I mean, I'm a brother, you're a brother. That's all that counts. You see? In the church life, you'll just be so surprised at the differences of mentality. I mean, they have a different mentality, different values, different culture, different mores, different things like that. It's just different. Okay? You're for this and I'm for that. And you're for this and I'm for that. You see? The Spanish speakers, they have a mindset. The Chinese have a mindset, right? The Americans have a mindset. The Koreans have a mindset. Everybody's different. Why are they so different? Why are the Spanish, they tend one way, and the Chinese tend, in some ways, just the opposite? Right? Why are the Americans so wild? They're crazy. All of them, Americans are just wild. Really. Compared to other cultures, it's really true. They're really wild, you know. The Chinese culture is careful, cautious, very planned out, very don't make any mistakes. Very a few exceptions, I understand. You know, just so to them, you know, when I first touched the Chinese culture in the church, I thought, this is some culture. You know, and I found out, well, someone got engaged. And I said, oh, when do you plan to get married? Oh, we don't know, 1 year, 2 years. I said, man, what kind of mentality is that? Really? And a lot of things, I said, well, I never heard of that. Maybe they're an exception. But I found out they all... you know, engagement is one thing. Marriage is really something. I mean, I don't know how to explain. I still don't quite have it in my mentalities. Many of the Chinese saints that have lived in our home, I'm not sure I have it figured out yet. But there's just something there. In America, if you let your parents in on your decisions, that's a sign of weakness. in with the Chinese, if you don't let them in on your decisions, you have had it, you know, kind of thing. It's just different. I mean, the whole cult, and the Lord says we're supposed to be one. You see, one. You tell me how to be one. We're also, what, peculiar. Shaho, are we peculiar? Okay. Anyway, you see, in God's eyes, we have to respect all those things. It does not matter. It does not matter, you see. Shaho, you better appreciate me. Okay. Now, you can believe this or not believe it, but I appreciate you. I do appreciate you very much. Okay, I do. Sometimes I think, Lord, did you really set this member in the body? I have this thought, you know, not very often, but you know, it's amazing. Sometimes somebody looks like they you just wonder, how can it be? And after a short period of time, you just realize they are so valuable in the body of Christ. Don't ever prejudge anything. Just give the Lord time. You'll see. God has done it. God has selected it. God is wise. Don't ever question this. The body is something where He does it. That's why this verse here says, but now God has placed the members, the plural members, each one of them in the body, even as He willed. You see? I would say it this way. If we have a lot of variety, a lot of peculiarity, a lot of this, a lot of that, and we still are one in Christ and are pursuing the Lord together and standing for His testimony, then all of that variety and what the world would call peculiarity is really our glory. Amen. It's our glory. Amen. You see? Y'all are my glory, and the rest of us should be your glory. Right? You know, all of us have probably wondered what our relatives, or even had our relatives, question our selection of friends, meaning the rest of the saints, or what church we go to, meaning the local church. And can't you do better than that type of attitude, you know? And or something like, these people are not like we are. They're different. Well, if you want to get down to that kind of mentality, well, yeah, that's true. You see, in what way are we the same? Well, there's no way for that to work out. You see, and we have no way to preach the gospel. We'll just look around for somebody like me. We won't have boldness to preach the gospel. We won't feel the burden because we'll only be looking for a kind of a certain type of person. You see? No. The gospel is universal. The church, therefore, is made up of all of these people that are different than me. And the great challenge is, would I deny myself and pay the price to have oneness? That's the challenge, you see. We have to meet it head on, and we have to overcome, right? Well, by the Lord's mercy, I believe He's gaining that on the earth. Okay, the next one is the young saints, that's y'all. Respect the older saints, that's me. Let's see, we have any older saints? Doug is older. Or Doug, are you and I the only older saints here? I think the rest of you, you're young, or you're younger than older. So Doug, you see, we really get to kind of relax on this verse. And the burden is on the younger ones, right? Well, it just so happens that there are saints older than Doug and I, and we have to respect them. We're just you might say, middle-aged type people. Anyway, Peter says, and this is the word of God, it says, in like manner, younger men, be subject to elders. Okay, this means men who are older in age. And all of you gird yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay, now, let me just give you some reasons that I think are appropriate why young saints need to value the older saints, all of the older saints that you meet, that are in the church life, that the Lord allows you to have exposure to. Value them. They may even be your parents, but your parents are saints, so value them, respect them, give them the honor. Okay? Number one, because they provide a great protection for the younger saints. When we first started the church life, we didn't have the luxury of this protection, and so we like to got ourselves into hot water many, many times. But praise the Lord that things are quite normalized since those early days. And so in this country, nearly everywhere, you get the benefit of the protection of the older saints. They are kind of an umbrella to shield you from anything that might be harmful, cause some kind of problem, be upsetting. They can take the blow and let them be a kind of a protection to you, okay? This is a real help. When you first begin your Christian life, there are a lot of things you just don't know about, you're not clear about. It's a new thing. You don't know what to do. This is where the older saints provide a real helpful function towards you in protecting you from things that you may do something that you wouldn't be happy about. You may even regret it. You may even be ashamed of it. So the younger saints, through fellowship, are really protected by the older saints and what they have already experienced. Then number two, God no doubt ordained that the younger ones would be subject to the older ones, because he wants the younger ones to be perfected. And the older ones are really very much used in God's economy to perfect the younger ones. They have had a history. They have had much experience of Christ, many experiences of Christ. And so God takes these older ones and uses them to perfect the younger saints. They have a lot. If you've never really gotten around an older saint and just taken the time to let them infuse you with their revelation, their wisdom, their light, their experiences, you've missed a lot. The young people, they're quite good in the matter of having a heart and of having a good burning spirit, but regardless of what you have, it's not complete until you have the addition of the experiences of the older saints. So you need to value that very much. This produces a real sweetness, a real harmony in the church life, is when we recognize this and value this. Another reason I would say is that the older saints provide us with a kind of an example that we like. That we like to follow. I am so thankful for many, many very good, excellent, inspiring examples that help me so much. And they help me and they continue to help me. They just were inspiring. You could imitate their faith, their suffering, their wisdom, their manner of life. They're just so so helpful. You know, with the young people, they might have a little bit more of an ability to react faster, or they're more flexible or something like that. But I'll tell you what the older people have that the younger people don't have so quickly, and that is they have endurance. The older, just the fact that they are faithful at their age shows that they have endured. Many people that would have been in the church life at their age did not pay the price to be faithful, and these ones endured, and they're very worthy to imitate and to respect for their faithfulness. You see, don't think God has a little special feeling for young people. No, he just loves all his saints, you see. And so we need to really have a value for them. Then the next one is is respect or value the different functions of the saints. And this is from Romans 12:4, for just as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function. The saints are not the same in function. They are the same in life, and they are the same in nature, and they are the same in manifesting the fruits of the Spirit, and they are the same in many ways, essentially. But as far as function, there is a wide variety, and we have to value all of the variety of function. You see, some of the function is common, and some of it is particular or special, and we have to value both kinds. For example, not everybody is an apostle, right? Not everybody's a prophet. Not everybody's an evangelist. Not everybody's a teacher or a shepherd. As far as being a gift to the body, this is something that God just does with certain ones for the benefit of the whole. But you can imitate that. In other words, you may not be an evangelist as a gift. I mean, that maybe is not your gift. I don't know if you ever have met that many true evangelists, but probably all of us, whether we really had that much understanding or not, know some people whose life is really the preaching of the gospel, and they can really get nearly anybody saved at any time. They just have a gift for that. And though we maybe don't have that kind of success ratio, nevertheless, we can preach the gospel and do the work of an evangelist, even if we are not the gift of an evangelist, you see. And we, of course, are obligated to do that. But we have to respect the different functions. Not everybody has the same function. There are some functions that are just practical in nature. A deacon or deaconess-type function. Practical service. And it may not seem that esteemed in our eyes. We would go for something a little more spectacular. Nevertheless, without it, the body simply does not have a way to express itself. There must be the little nuts and bolts to hold any good machinery together. There's always a lot of little nuts and bolts. These are the little members with a lot of different functions, you see. Don't envy their function. Don't try to imitate it. But anyway, value it. It is part of you because you are parts of one another. You see, we're living in the body consciousness, not in the personal consciousness. You see, so we respect all the functions, different functions of the saints. 16 is respect the overseeing ones. I wanted to put this down here as a kind of a general title based on Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey the ones leading you and submit to them, for they watch over your souls. And this gets a little scary. As those who will render an account, that they may do this with joy and not groaning, for this will be unprofitable to you. In saying overseeing ones, I would like to point out a couple of aspects. Number one, there's oversight in, I would say, two lines. One is the line of the work, and one is the line of the church. You have to have leading ones and oversight in both lines. In the work, where brothers labor in the work, this means something outside of just the locality they live in. When they labor that way, this is what we call the work. Just like Paul and Barnabas were separated for the work that God had called them to. And they traveled and established many churches. If we don't have the work, if we don't have this kind of thing among us, and let's pretend we just are in our locality and we're all by ourselves and we have to draw only on our own resources, only on our own light, only on what we ourselves alone can get, then you could see the tremendous shortage that we would have in whatever locality we were in. The church in any locality would suffer much if they did not have the leadership and the ministry of the work. So we must have these two elements, the leadership and the ministry. This is just according to the New Testament pattern. Paul, the apostles, all the ones, they provided the leadership and the ministry to establish and confirm the churches. Without it, the churches would have, they would not even have been there. And even if by some way the one or a few were there, they would have been so weak. If we did not have the benefit of the leadership and ministry of the work, we would have come to our end years and years ago. But praise the Lord, we do have that oversight. So we should respect that, value that, and submit to it. There's also the leadership in the church. This is on a local level. And in this way, we have to say this is another line that these two, the work and the church, go together. You see, the work is for the church, and the church is there as a result of the work. And so these two go together. If you had the work only, and you had some people who did a lot of work, but they could never stay and be on the local level, then you could realize the local level would never flourish because there's not a real direct and ongoing oversight there. So you need a local, we could call it a government or an administration, to take care of things so that the church is always in a good order. If it's not in a good order, then you reach a kind of a condition where everyone does whatsoever is right in his own eyes. At that time, the church is in real trouble. If you've ever hit this concept of we don't need leadership, we don't need oversight, we don't need government or whatever it is, you're just looking at a person that is just kind of destined to be on their own, because they will never get along in a group of people, because wherever there's just any kind of group, there has to be some kind of administration. You see, some kind of leadership is there. I would say right now, both of these kinds of, both of these lines and the value and the respect for them, today there's an attack on both lines. Attack on the line of the work. Well, we're okay. We just be the church where we are. We just go on. The Lord Himself will just be everything to us and so forth. These places are doomed to last about 1 year max. Then they just fade, because God did not raise them up to have an all-inclusive supply. This is the body. He set some in the work and He set some in the church. You see? And they coordinate. Actually, it's all in the church, but practically you can define it as the work universally and in the church in a local aspect, you see. Some people, they just don't want to recognize the leadership or the ministry and the work. This is an attack. We would be beggars, poor beggars if we didn't have that. So thank the Lord, we respect that. Then number two, there's some battle, some attack that locally we don't need any kind of church administration, we don't need any oversight, we don't need any government. All of this is just human, man-made, and so forth. Well, be careful. It may be if it's done in certain ways, but nevertheless, there is the spiritual reality, and it is the truth of the Bible that there would be a kind of an administration. Never think this is something not of God. No. The whole book of Timothy really just is there for mainly one thing, that there would be a good order in the church. And Titus, did I say Timothy? And Titus was charged by Paul strongly to take care, to establish the churches, to have a good order involving all the saints. There should be an order. If the administration or government or however you would describe it is functioning properly, you would not have hardly much awareness of it. It's not like an organizational thing that's a bureaucracy. You shouldn't have much awareness of it. You know what I'm saying? If it's really something so dominating, so powerful, so, you know, I don't know what, so just so humanistic, secular, then that's not organic. But if we're living in the body and we're not that conscious of it, then this is more normal. Nevertheless, in a time of need, in a time of if a problem arises, if trouble comes, you see, if the administration is not there, you got a problem. I can just tell you have a problem. Where this is not there, there's just things. The enemy can come in, and he can wipe the situation out very quickly. So God has ordained that there would be an administration to care for, to protect, and even to lead the saints and to watch over their souls, like it says here in Hebrews. You see, so if it functions when the need is there and it rises up to function, but then it likes to retreat and let the body function in a normal way. When the need is there, it rises up, and then it retreats back into the woodwork. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then it's a kind of a normal administration, I would say. But anyway, it's necessary, or you have confusion and chaos, I would say, and everyone doing what's right in their own opinion. 17, trust the Lord for your needs. This is a real important thing for young people to know, that your needs in God's eyes are all taken care of. In this verse in Philippians, Paul says, "My God will fill your every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Look at those phrases. Your need is covered by this kind of capital. His riches, His glory, and His Son. That's the guarantee of your supply. Okay, you have the assurance based on riches, glory, and Christ Himself. So He'll supply your every need. With young people, I would say now, because you're in school, just starting school, just getting out of school, and so forth, one of the more obvious needs you have is your job, career type thing. You just be at peace. Do what you need to do. Take care of your business. Take care of your schooling, and don't worry. Let the job come to you. Okay, you don't need to turn into an unbeliever in your mentality about going out there and trying to maneuver around and be sure you land what in your mind you think is the best job. More often than not, that will turn out to be a trial and tribulation to you.
Really?
That wonderful job that you got became a trial and tribulation. However, it's just amazing. If you just let the Lord work it out, you just get something. It just turns out that everything is just really good. He has a way to take care of us that way. No sweat. Why should we sweat? The priests in the Old Testament wore linen garments, meaning no sweat. No sweat. No, seriously, no sweat. This was a picture, meaning they were resting in the Lord. No sweating. No sweating means no human work, no human labor producing human sweat, meaning they live by the grace of God. You understand? Comprende? How do you say understand in Chinese? What?
Mingbai.
Mingbai? Yeah, Mingbai. Yeah, I like it. Other than a job, I'd like to mention the need of getting married. Do any of y'all have that need? Getting married? Some of you have that need? Okay. No one has that need? Oh, I see. 9 times 6. Okay. Okay. You don't need to listen to this then? Well, I'll say a little frank word here about this. Probably the biggest decision that is a human life decision is, of course, marriage. It would be incredibly wrong to think that God does not have this worked out for all of His saints. It would be a big mistake to think that someone who says He knows that our hairs are numbered and that He would take care of all of our needs. In fact, here it says every need, doesn't it? Your every need, that He would overlook a big need like this is kind of silly. So your marriage is solved, okay? It's solved. It's worked out. No, be at peace. Rest. No anxiety. No worry. Okay? You're going to marry the right saint. Okay? And you're going to marry him at the right time. If you'll just take his way, he will work it out. If you don't, you'll go through a self-made trial and tribulation. Don't do it. Okay? It's not necessary. Don't you think he understands? Don't you think he knows? Don't you think he's wise? Don't you think he's capable? Don't you think he can work it out? Don't you think all these things can be done by the great God of the universe, who's the head of the body? Amen. Your Father. Amen. Don't you think he can do it? Then why worry? Where's the sweat? Why get into anxiety? You know, sometimes brothers and sisters think about, I'm getting old, just like worldly people do. I'm getting old. And so they start to analyze places to go and things to do to meet more people to enhance their chances of marrying one of them. They really think this way. Don't they have some like phone services and things? And I mean, people are getting rich over other people's anxieties about who they're going to marry. You see? I think they even do videotapes, and you can go in and view, not that one. No, view, no, maybe. That's really respecting the Lord's wisdom, you know. No. Just don't worry, okay? He's taking care of that, okay? How could he take care of your salvation, your whole future, your destiny, and say, well, oh, I forgot about your marriage. I'm sorry. That's too much. Isn't it too much? So just don't be in this realm. Relax. Don't let the enemy push you. Don't let him tempt you. Don't let him distract you. Just stay away from all of that. He'll take care of all your needs. Those are just two big needs. I mean, he'll take care of them all. Big needs, little needs. Don't sweat. Don't worry. Just relax. He will take care of your needs. Little needs. Okay? $5 needs. 25-cent needs. He'll just meet your needs. I don't know how. I do not know how It's just happened so many times that I just know it's real. It's so real. Okay? Okay, now.
Oh, sorry.
Be governed by burden, not career opportunities. Ouch. James 4, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into this or that city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. I almost want to write, to me it looks like, this is USA personified here. I mean, there should be a flag by this verse with the stars and stripes. Come now, go into this, spend a year and make profit and do business and make profit. This is the American mentality, isn't it? Whereas you do not know the matter of tomorrow, what your life will be, for you are a vapor. Have you ever been called a vapor? Not a viper, a vapor. You're a vapor. You're just a little puff of smoke. It's just right now you're fading. God just sees so far down the timeline that he just says your life's a vapor. Have you ever seen a vapor last long? I mean, honestly, isn't it? I mean, it's going right in front of your eyes. It's just disappearing, right? That's our human life, and yet we're concerned about what we're going to do this year and go do business and make a profit, etc. Which appears for a little while and then disappears. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will both live and do this or that. If the Lord wills. So right here, I just want to say all you young people are coming to, you're somewhere in the midst of a very critical juncture in your life regarding this very thing, and that is your career.
Right.
Okay, you either have or are fixing to set a standard that will affect you the rest of your life. And that standard is that in being qualified, getting a degree or whatever, and being qualified to get a job, you will either make a decision to go by your burden and your vision of what God's purpose is and align yourself with that, or you'll be persuaded or swayed into the realm of just doing something because the job opportunity is better in that particular way or place. And whichever line you take sets a standard that will affect you. You'll either be a person that will spend years and years compromising on all the spiritual things, or you'll be absolute on all the spiritual things. This is a kind of a standard. I just want to give you a frank word. Whether you love me, whether you hate me for it, I really don't care. I just want to be able to say I told you the truth.
That's right.
And I didn't allow you to drift off and get slaughtered. Okay? I don't want that on my conscience. If you don't stay faithful to God's ordained way and you choose the secular way to do things, you will pay a stiff price. And you may be a spiritual casualty. I beg you, don't do it. Okay? Don't do it. Okay? Don't say I don't fully understand. I know all this stuff, okay? I had my plans too, and so forth. So you got to make a decision somewhere. This is a time. If you compromise at the start, where will you stop? You see? It will affect everything. So be faithful, be absolute, to go by the Lord's leading, the Lord's will is what James chooses to use. And then whatever you do is just something that He'll provide for, take care of. Okay? We're not people who put dollar signs on the decisions we make. We're people who bend the circumstances to the Lord's will.
Amen.
And make them fit to the Lord's will.
Amen.
Okay? The next one is aspire to be trained. For the grace of God bringing salvation to all men has appeared, training us. Do you ever see that verse there? Training us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust,
Amen.
We should live soberly and righteously and godly in the present
Amen.
Age. Training is something that is to be aspired after. And I would like to mention that there's mainly three ways we need to be trained. We need to be trained in life. We need to be trained in truth. And we need to be trained in service. How we serve and function for the Lord. Number one is, one of the avenues God ordained is to be trained through living in the church life. A lot of training takes place within the confines of the body of Christ, living day in, day out in the church life, keeping all the precious things as a priority. You get a lot of training this way. The more given you are to it, the faster the training occurs. You can actually get a lot of training this way. Okay? And thankfully, many of the saints, including Brother Lee himself, have gone before us and been trained so that we are not here having to pioneer every detail of the church life. We just pioneer where the Lord has brought the recovery to and go forward there. But nevertheless, there's a training aspect here. Then, of course, in recent years, the Lord has given us a kind of a special training that we can participate in for 6 months, 1 year, a year and a half, or even 2 years. They're in Anaheim now, or at times it's been in some other locality. That training is what I would call kind of a special training. Is kind of a mega dose of life, truth, and service, really crammed into a short space of time. You get a big, gigantic dose. And I would say after now, we've been doing this training, roughly, say, about 7 years, give or take 6 months. Overall speaking, I would say that training has been extremely profitable for those who have spent time in that kind of special training. It's just so hard to create an atmosphere and an environment where you can give your whole being to life, truth, and service, you know, day in, day out, 24 hours a day type of thing. To have that chance and opportunity will be profitable. It will serve you well for the remainder of your Christian life. I would strongly endorse the aspiring of that, okay, to be trained. For any of you that could still be something you could do in the future, it is a extremely excellent opportunity, okay. The training in the church life, it kind of goes hand, in other words, your experience, your life, and your knowledge, they all kind of go hand in hand. When you get the other training, it's kind of a real concentrated time. You get a lot of things. You maybe know a lot more. Your knowledge is maybe way ahead of your experience. But nevertheless, it is a big momentum factor. It is a real jump start on many experiences in knowing how to have a daily life that would fulfill God's purpose. There's just a lot of factors there. So it should be considered very earnestly with much prayer and much sober-mindedness before the Lord about this matter. So I would definitely want to tell you that should be aspired to. Number 20 is a little balance to that, and that is respect those who are not burdened or cannot circumstantially be specially trained, like I just mentioned. Some people have a kind of a situation in which they would really love to go somewhere, wherever the training is. Right now, what the training I'm talking about is in Anaheim, California. Circumstantially, they can't go. It's kind of sad because they want to so much, but they can't do it. Well, that's just the way it is. What do you do? What do you say? If this causes you to have a problem, your attitude is wrong. You see, God has a wisdom about our circumstances. If you doubt that, you'll become confused, and even your attitude will suffer. Don't ever doubt the Lord's wisdom in all His arrangement. You just can do it. You can do it. That's it. Okay. If you try to buck it, you'll find yourself really having a hard time. You have to submit. You have to accept the Lord's arrangement for you. Okay. That's circumstantially. The other is respect those who are not burdened. You know, I was thinking, I don't know if the young people will believe me on this one or not. Do you believe some people before the Lord just don't have a burden? I don't mean they're out of it and they're not burdened. I mean before the Lord, they don't have the burden. They pray, even they wish they could get the burden. They don't have the burden. They just don't have the burden. And yet they're very much before the Lord. We do. Do you try to pump some burden into them? Okay, let me say this. And I want to say it very properly in a very precise way. The special training is not for everyone. It's not for everyone. You say, well, who is it for? I'm not the head of the body. I can't answer that. But in principle, it's not for everyone. Okay. Now, the question is, will the rest of us value and respect the decision of the other brothers and sisters as to what they do? See, if we don't, then we're wrong. Okay. Yes, we ought to have a good atmosphere of training. And we ought to aspire to that. And so forth. But when somebody doesn't have the burden, you ought to drop it. Just drop it. Don't try to put something on fire that won't burn. You see? Who's to say? You may be pushing somebody. You know, my wife and I had an experience of this one time. We found out that her mother and father, this was when we were still in our 20s, were somewhat open to go to a three-week conference and training in Los Angeles that we had way back then. We rented a big hall and had those conferences. And you know, We were not spiritual. We were really soulish. We didn't pray. We didn't seek the Lord. We just assumed that anybody that would go would be blessed. And they had a little openness to go, and we just pushed this thing and pushed it and pushed it, and we got them out there. You know what happened? It was a disaster. It was a disaster. Yeah. They were doing okay, coming along in the church life and so forth. But looking back now, I can just say it simply, that environment was not for them at that time. And we put them into it. It really was a bummer. Learn the hard way. Right? So anyway, keep this in mind. Respect the other's leading and respect their feeling.
That's right.
But don't usurp the headship of the Lord. Let it go. Okay? He knows what he's doing. Where are we? Realize the two different results of training. The two different results are, number one, there's a personal side, and number two, there's a service side. I don't know if everyone realizes this, but if you have an aspiration to be trained in a special way, then you need to realize that the results take two lines. One is personal. This is to uplift your spiritual life so that it will enhance your church life for the rest of your life. That's personal. Helps you in prayer, helps you with the Spirit, helps you with truth, helps you with good habits of life, helps you with coordination, helps you with so many things. A real intense time of getting that. But that does not necessarily mean that, in other words, if you have the concept that to go there is to be trained to serve the Lord in some kind of a, I'm going to Ethiopia type thing, then you don't see it. You don't see it. It's we're not an organization. We're not a bureaucracy. We don't have a kind of a control like this. It's organic, okay? There should be a lot of people that get trained. That the best thing that you can say is this was so good for them personally that they became very, very crucial to the body of Christ. Especially in the locality that they live in. You see, the saints, the church, so many people pay a price so that they can get this training, so that they will be useful to the Lord. They want this. But it does not mean you will become necessarily a full-time person or even a half-time person or anything like that. This is another realm. The training doesn't produce this. This is just training. That's determined in another way. Okay? So if somebody just takes this as a personal type of thing, this is absolutely adequate. Not everybody that the Lord calls, and not everybody that would spend time in a special training, absolutely they're not supposed to use that. To do some kind of special serving or full-time or go somewhere else. This is according to the Lord's leading, and by no means is to be assumed at all. Otherwise, we lose the headship. Do you all follow that? Please understand the two things we're talking about, okay? The Lord has to do this, and He does this because He's the head, and He does this through the fellowship of the body, and things are worked out. And some of it is even governed by circumstances. And you can say, well, that's no way to decide. Yes, it is. A lot of decisions are given to us by the Lord's circumstantial arrangement, and we have to submit to that. You see? Okay, you got that? Oh, on the service side? Okay. On the service side, then on the training, there is a kind of a service side. And I would say we need to divide that into two categories. One is, if you are going to serve, then we need to have two ways. One is a temporary way, and one is a permanent way. You see, there's a temporary and a permanent. It's okay to serve the Lord temporarily. Take a year, take half a year, take a year. The Lord knows. There's no specific way to determine that. But sometimes you have to kind of get into it a little bit for you, for the body, for the saints, for everybody that's concerned to know whether this is the right thing to serve the Lord. Or to take the general way that the saints take, and that is to be a functioning member in the body of Christ with a normal human living. Okay? There's just no such thing as first stringers and second stringers. Okay? So this is just, it remains to be determined. It's not something that should be predetermined. It can't be done that way. This has caused great mistakes in Christianity when people predetermined their life before they had the experience. And they really became very disillusioned people because they were not anticipating certain things and they didn't fit. It was a square peg in a round hole, or vice versa. Anyway, it didn't work out. And to say, well, this is the way it is, if you have the concept, that's my profession, you just blew it bad. You see? Spiritual things are just not like that. So we have to let the Lord work it out. Then there's no doubt it'll be profitable. Okay? Now, where are we? 22, avoid legality. I have to say this to young people because y'all are so, so legal. I am just astonished at your legality. Your illegality is probably only surpassed by my legality at your age. It's probably the only thing that surpassed. We were so legal when we were young people. We were so legal. I look back and I'm just in shock at how legal we were. Well, part of it is we didn't have the older saints to help us. And part of it is legality is something you just have to grow out of. Don't be legal. Take Christ as much as you can to avoid legality. Okay? Both ways. What do I mean, both ways? Did you know legality has both ways to it? One way is don't be legal to others. Does anybody not really understand what I mean when I say don't be legal? I don't mean legal according to the law. Okay? Legal, well, it's like the law. Yeah, there's your mic. Okay, look at the verse here. It says, for the letter... Oh, I didn't read the verse above that about respecting those who are not burdened. Look at this one. Can I digress just a minute? No, two verses above. You see 1 Corinthians 16:12? This is on those who are not burdened and respecting that. And concerning our brother Apollos, Paul wrote this, I urged him many times to come to you with the brothers, yet it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity. Paul had a burden. Do you doubt Paul's burden? But Apollos had a different desire. Do you doubt his desire? We don't know who was right and who was wrong. It doesn't. That's not the point. But the point is, Paul had a burden, but when he found out what Apollos' desire was, he respected that.
and he let it lay there in the Lord's hands. Do you follow me? I'm sorry I didn't read that because it's a very good verse for that point. Now back to 22. That verse says, "For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." The letter is what is legal, meaning you do things automatically because that's the way it's supposed to be done. It's written out. It's the code. It's the manual. You do it. You see, no exceptions. It's not a matter of grace. It's not a matter of supply. It's not a matter of the Lord's leading. You just do it because it's a requirement. It's a demand. Very legal. Okay? If I say, okay, you saints back there in the kitchen, and we're going to eat supper, and we will eat at 6:03. We will eat supper at 6:03 and 10 seconds. And nobody touches one thing before 6:03:10. Then I'm being so legal. See? So legal. This is not gracious. This is legal. See? But if I say, let's eat at 6, but there's flexibility. It may be 5:55. It may be 6:07. But 6 o'clock is what's said. Then I say it, but I'm not legal about it. Legal means you keep it so strictly, so demandingly, so unyieldingly, no flexibility at all. That's legal. Okay? Do you understand? Don't be legal. Okay. You like one thing? Fine. Paul said, you have faith? You have faith to eat all things? Fine. He says, have it to yourself before God. Don't push this on somebody else. They eat herbs? Okay, let them do it. They do it before God. That's okay. Why be legal? See? So many things among us we do, but we shouldn't be legal about. Okay? How should we dress? How should we comb our hair? How should we, you name it. We could have a law for everything. That's legality. The letter of that kills. The letter kills. The Spirit gives life. So we need the Lord's leading. The Bible has magnificent principles, but you need the Spirit's leading for its application. Okay? The truth is there, but you still need the Spirit. Otherwise, you have the letter, which kills. Okay, is that clear? I put a little note here. You know, you can be legal about anything. And what it shows is that we are trying to do something for the Lord in a way that will produce something fast. Do you know that that underlying legality is a hidden desire for things to happen fast? That's what it, to shape things up fast is why you become legal. This is why the husband is legal to the wife and the wife is legal to the husband. They're trying to change him fast. They're dissatisfied and they want a quick switch. So become very legal. Come on, all you that are married. It's true. You see? If it's organic, it takes time and you have to have patience. If it's of the Spirit, only through patience and time will it be worked out so that it's really of the Lord. Otherwise, you're just trying to push something into a fast condition that once it gets there, it has no spiritual foundation, so it will collapse. Believe me, it will collapse. If you're a weak-willed person, it will collapse fast. If you're a medium-willed person, it will collapse a little later. If you're very strong, you'll hold it up longer, but it'll still crash. Nothing will endure. Only the organic way lasts. So you have to have patience for it. See, don't make a legality out of anything. I get around and talk to, quite a few saints not just here in Austin, but in other places. Doug, I ask you this question since we've been in the recovery about the same amount of time. Can you think of anything that the Lord brought into the recovery over the years that we didn't, for some period of time, make it legal? Think about it. Nearly everything we have that the Lord has done new among us, there was some phase of it where we were very legal about it until we were balanced out to do it in an organic way. Wouldn't you agree with that? There was a time when prayer reading, which was so wonderful, but to tell you the truth, there was... For a while there, it was pray, read, or you, or you are not only on the second string, you're in the stands, you're off the team. It was pray, read, or else, type of thing. Just too much. But anyway, time heals all these kind of things. And eventually it just became something really worked into the churches and in a good way. Pray reading is an outstanding way to contact the Lord, but it is not something that we make an issue out of. Not now, but there was a time when we were pretty, pretty pushy about it. You can think of nearly anything, and we went through a phase where, God Himself is speaking, and that means our job is to. He speaks and we push. No, He speaks and we receive and we start to let Him work this into our being.
Amen.
And we start to practice in grace and not in the letter, you see. Probably in our history, we've never had so many new things introduced in such a short time as we have had in the last, say, 6 years concerning preaching the gospel, concerning how to shepherd and nourish young ones, concerning how to perfect them in all these ways, how to have group meetings in homes, and how to learn how to prophesy to build up the church. The massive amount of newness in this realm is really rather staggering. You see. But I have to tell you the truth. It's going to get into the churches, but it's going to be done organically. That means you're going to have to be a little bit patient. Because if you push it into existence and it doesn't have a foundation to it, it won't last. And that has already borne itself out in enough experiences that I've heard testimonies about to know that that's true. You just think something is that way and that it will never change. Well, that's not necessarily true. The truth of it is there. The principle of it is there. But certain ways and means have much flexibility and will change. Right? Don't you realize we used to really push getting people baptized immediately after they got saved? Don't you remember that? Now, do we do it that way? Yes or no? No. But do you think that changes our burden for baptism? The baptism has never changed. But when and how and under what kind of help we do this has gotten more improved. And don't think it stopped. There should be even more improvement. Okay? There's a lot of things we just have to do in an organic way. If you don't, if you do it legally, you'll see. You'll start, you'll go on, you'll run into problems, you won't know what to do then. Then you just have to stop and quit. Because you didn't let it come organically. You have to do it and let it come organically. No other way. Okay? Don't fight about and don't be legal about the things that are precious. You know, some people right now, they don't like the new way. We call it the new way. They don't like it. They don't. Regardless of what you say, they don't like it. They just don't like it. If you say we ought to go do this, this, I don't like that. We ought to have small group meetings in our homes. No, I don't like that. It's better in the hall. We ought to preach the gospel. We need to be more in the Word and not worry about the gospel. And if they just don't like it, you just say right and they say left. You know mainly why they say that one? Because they got into it at one time, and they got into it so legally, and they burned out. Yeah. That now they're afraid to touch it. Exactly. Because they don't want to have a bad experience. They got into it and they were so legal about it, and it didn't work for them. Oh, it doesn't work. We were told it would work, and we did it, and it didn't work. Now what? I'm lost. No, it's not like that. It's like one time somebody said, a brother actually told me one time, don't tell me to pray read because I've done that and pray reading does not work. I said, it doesn't work. I said, then it's not pray reading. Of course it works. If it doesn't work, it's not. That's the point, is this is something, if you don't contact God, then it's not pray reading. You just, it's your pray reading, but it's not the real pray reading. Do you follow me? Okay. Hey, don't be legal. But endeavor to practice in grace and patience. Give the other brothers and sisters a lot of room. Don't press them into a little mold. Give them a lot of room. Okay? Then everybody will be happy. Now, the other side of being offended or of being legal is being offended. You not only can't be legal toward others, but you can't be offended if people are legal toward you. See? I get worried about this side a lot. What if somebody gets legal toward you? They start pushing, they start to get legal and they say what, and Kevin Kinnaman, here's what I think it would be best for you. And see, I remind you of this every day. I just become a kind of like a nuisance to you, right? Every day. Finally, you just really get offended with me. Well, if you want to, you can say, brother, I've committed this to the Lord and I'm just going to let Him lead me. But if I'm just somebody that's, I don't know, too much, you have to take grace not to be offended with me. You see. How many phone calls do you think I've gotten about somebody that was offended because somebody was too legal, too much? Do you have any guess? I just, brother, I hate to say this. I don't know whether I, but I'm just having such a problem. And, you know, it's usually somebody that has been, what shall I say, legal, pushy, too much. Well, you just have to take grace not to be offended. You can take it. Come on. It's just words. It's not like somebody put you on the torture rack. Just words. Okay? Don't be offended. Don't develop a bad attitude. Don't say, oh, it's so legal. Oh, the brothers are so legal. All the brothers are legal. All the sisters are legal. All the church is legal. All the saints are legal. All the elders are legal. The whole recovery is legal. Brother Lee is legal. Watchman E was too legal. Everybody's legal. Then you just go your way and you see. No, it's not that. Yeah, we're legal, but we're growing. Give us a chance. We're growing. But meanwhile, you can't be offended. You're wrong if you're offended. You're wrong if you're legal. If you're wrong, if you're offended. You may be more wrong if you're offended. I don't know. Okay. Oh, time is gone. Okay, avoid comparisons. Can y'all just do that? No problem. No comparing. See, look at this verse. Look how many times comparing, measuring. For we do not dare to class or compare ourselves with any of those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, are stupid. Okay. Okay, you want to be in the world, you want to know what the world system is, it's this right here. Keeping up with the Joneses is what we call it in America. That's exactly what this is. You just have to, you know, stay up with the peers. Compare, measure, compare, and hang in there. Paul says they are without understanding. I wonder what without understanding of what? I'm pretty sure it's something to do with God's economy, something very spiritual. You know, in the world, they compare themselves in secular ways. If I just had that job, or if I just had that salary, or if I just had that money, or if I just had, certain things, or if I just had that house, or if I just had that car, if I were just that handsome, or a lot of things like that. And the females, they're worse. If I just had that wardrobe, if I just had that color hair, if I just had those color eyes, if I just had enough money to see the kind of people who can do things to your complexion and hair, and spend a lot of money in those places. Don't you think they do and talk about this all the time? Right? I don't think these bumper stickers are an accident that, you know, a woman's place is in the mall type of thing. You know? They shop. They love to shop. They love to shop because, today in life, they live in a dream. What would I look like in that dress, you know, that's on a mannequin? What would I look like in that dress? And you know, they think about it, and they look at it and think about it. They go home and think about it. They dream about it. They think and dream and think and dream. What? Just one dress. They know they can't have it, but what would it be like? You know how to make money today? If you want to be a wealthy doctor, you know the way to do it now? Huh? Yeah, absolutely. I don't know who said it, but I heard it. That's right. You just get into plastic surgery. $5,000 a day, you'll be in good shape. And if it's a good day, you may make 10. Plastic surgery, people don't like the way they look. Plastics are instant beauty. Instant, you know, I don't know what to call it. I wouldn't trust a plastic surgeon unless they were really dedicated to like injuries or something like that. But for cosmetic reasons, I would say this person doesn't have a real interest in the serious things of life. Okay. Anyway, we're not like, we don't want to be like that.
Okay, no. So we're Christians. We're saints. Get out of that realm. Okay? No more comparing. What would Christians compare? Well, what is there to compare? Think about it. Okay, we wouldn't compare about beauty, handsome. No, not us. We would never do anything like that. Right? Right? No. We would never, you know, wonder how much body fat we carry or anything. No, we're beyond that. You know what we envy? Let me tell you. We think about this all the time. We wish we were in another person's, quote, setup, their circumstances. We really envy their circumstances. They have a good deal going. Oh, we like that. Don't you ever think about somebody's got a real good deal and yours is not so good? I wish I had a better setup. Well, I didn't want to say it, Mike, but I would say it's definitely coveting. I'll tell you, well, let's put it to a higher plane. You know another thing we covet? If I could only function like that brother or sister. Oh, they're just so able to do this and so able to do that and so good at this and so good at that and oh, this and oh, this and oh, that. No. You see? Comparing and measuring. You're just in the dark. Isn't this darkness? Yeah. It's against everything that is the New Testament. Okay, avoid criticisms. I don't think I need to say anything on that. Y'all would never do that, would you? What verse is there? Could y'all read that to me? You know what that means? If that's the truth and we're in the reality of love, there's no room for criticism. Love, listen to this. This is a classic statement, and I'm not sure where I read it in one of the books, but it was so good I never forgot it, that love construes all things positively. It construes them positively. Whatever is said, whatever is done, it places a positive meaning or construction on it. So it believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, covers all things, you see. It's positive. So no criticism. Listen, saints, if you ever fall into the realm of criticizing, you have just fallen into the bottomless pit. You will never find an end of things to criticize. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. I'm sorry we didn't get to cover that point. The vessel is there. It's here. It will always be here. We can criticize the earthen vessels all day, every day, for as long as we want. It is no value. We need to focus on the treasure, not criticize the things of the earthen vessel, right? Avoid individual super spirituality. Is anybody super spiritual? If so, stop it. Stop it. No, we don't want to have any super spiritual people there. Okay, Kevin, are you that way? Okay, glad to hear it. Chaho, stop it. We don't want you like that. Okay. Right? I've heard stories. Millie Bay, I've heard them about you too. That you've broken all the records for preaching the gospel. Pray 6 or 7 hours every day. Okay, listen. Be spiritual. Be solidly spiritual. But don't be somebody that sticks out as being spiritual. Okay? If what somebody says about you is they are so spiritual. I wouldn't take that as a compliment. If they say, this is a dear brother, a dear member of the body, this is somebody who loves the gospel, somebody loves to pray, somebody loves this and that, I'd say all that's good. But if they just don't know what to say about you except they're just so spiritual. The next question I would ask is, who are they spiritual with? They would say, well, there's just nobody quite like this person. This is not a good sign. See, this means they're super and they're individual. And their spirituality is not so real because it hasn't been tested by the body. If it's real spirituality, it fits in the body. If it's not, then it's not real. Okay. This loner type spirituality, I've seen this, and it's just not a pretty sight.
No.
It's not pretty. And people are very deceived by this. They really think they're spiritual. And they really don't realize they're way off.
Really?
I've seen a few cases, and it didn't turn out. It didn't end up well. Be real. Be solid. Be spiritual. But not super individual. You could live in a world of your own. No one knows how to enter that world. You see? A really spiritual person has a way to bring you in to the realm of Christ. You see? But if you can't even relate to a person, they just live in a zone you can't even identify with, this is not genuine. Okay. Then lastly, praise the Lord, we come to the last one. Learn to be human. Okay. I guess this is a sister's verse here. I will therefore that the younger widows marry, bear children. Uh-oh. House. Give no opportunity to the opposer for reproach. Does that sound like what you would consider an overcomer would be doing? Bearing children and keeping house? The next one says, he who steals should steal no more, but should rather labor, working with his own hands in that which is respectable, that he may have something to share with him who has need. Does that sound like what you this would be an overcoming person, or this is just something we would like to avoid? You see? Okay, young people, I don't think you're really like this, but don't be tempted. Be careful. Don't scorn the human responsibilities and the God-ordained things that are human in scope. Don't despise these. Okay? You can gain Christ there just like you can gain Him in any other way. Maybe more so. And I would go even a little further and say that regardless of what we do, how we serve, what our function is, how many spiritual exercises we have, if it doesn't translate into the bottom line, which is God manifested in the flesh in ordinary human life, then we have no testimony on which to base any of our service. Do you understand me?
If there's no testimony of God manifest in the flesh in ordinary human living, we don't have anything to offer. What are we going to offer? Who wants to be like us? See? Yes, we are very much for Christ. We don't mind to catch flack because of that. A little persecution there is good. But if they say, well, you got the sloppiest car, the sloppiest house, the sloppiest yard, the sloppiest this, the sloppiest that, you're the sloppiest person. And I don't want to listen to anything you have to say. And we don't have to, that's it. We have nothing to offer, do we? You see? So we have to take care of this, you see. Paul thought marrying, bearing children, keeping house was very honorable and should be done. It was a commandment here, actually, for the widows. Okay. Do you think that's high, or do you think that's something to tolerate? See, be careful and keep the right perspective. Okay? That's why I like to start this series on focus on Christ and enjoy the one Spirit. That's so high. But I like to end on be human. That's so normal. Put all of it together. Put all these points together and you get a little picture of the church life. Okay?